listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We've seen what you can do, oh God of wonders. Your power hath no end. The things you've done before, in greater measure, you will do again. 'Cause there's no
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. David wrote in Psalm 145, verses 11 and 12, "They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom." That's the vision of Wednesday Live, to edify, inspire, to comfort, to encourage, and to bless you. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
Oh God of revival, let hope arise. Death is overcome.
And good morning and welcome to Wednesday Live. And Karen, sometimes you just let people know we are actually alive this morning.
Yes, and we're real people, and we are here.
we're real people. We're right here in the studio in beautiful Palm City, Florida.
That's right.
And we do have some guests with us this morning, and we're going to try to pick on them with all the love we have here from the great Treasure Coast of Florida. But to you, our listeners, we want to say keep your dial set right there at 89.9. And we are thankful that you have chosen to join us today. And so we are going to be sharing some things with you. We have guests from the Gospel Tract Society. And so we are going to be talking with the current, I guess, leader, CEO, Mr. Bertram?
Director.
Director.
I am legally the president, but functionally the director.
Legally the president, functionally the director. Okay. And we are so glad to have you with us. And also, we are honored to have your son.
My son, Christopher. My wife called him a bodyguard. He's my buddyguard.
Buddyguard. Christopher, you are living where? And
Just outside Kansas City in a little town called Greenville, Missouri.
Okay. And what do you do?
I'm in technology sales, so I'm technically a sales engineer. I'm just responsible to keep the sales guy honest and make sure he doesn't sell something he shouldn't.
Ooh, that sounds like an important job. Important job. Well, it's great to have both of you with us today. Karen, we are going to open up with a little bit of mail, and I don't think we have anything from local governments other than a little report that I'll give after we give this our mail.
Yeah, we just have a few little notes here from our listeners. From our wonderful supporter, Janine, says, "God bless you. In Christ alone." Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Janine.
And then a note here from Carolyn and Carol. Thanks for being there. We love you guys, and we wish you a most blessed new year, the most blessed new year ever. God bless you all and the radio station. And then from Celestine, he says, "I am writing this letter to let you know that God told me to send you this money, and I'm doing just what God tells me to do."
Amen. <Thank you. laughs> I'm so glad that some people hear God say, "Send some money," because that really helps us meet the needs and expenses around here. And so we want to thank all of you for your mail. Karen, we mention it from time to time, but we should just let our listeners know again today that you can send in your prayer request. And how would they do that?
Absolutely.
Praise reports as well.
Right. You can go to the website, WCNO.com, and we have a little section there on the left-hand side on the menu. You can click on that prayer request form, and you can use that either for a prayer request, praise report. If you have a question about anything, we'd love to hear from you. And as well, you can call, and you can mail us at 2960 Southwest Map Road,
Palm City.
Palm City.
Yeah, that'll work as well. Incidentally, to the great cloud of witnesses, not in heaven, but on earth, that showed up at the City of Stewart Commission meeting this week on Monday, we want to say a huge thank you for standing up for your faith, which you have freedom to do, and coming into really the local government and saying, we really believe that prayer is not only appropriate, but needed before all of our commission meetings. And that was a successful evening. We do not have prayer yet approved for the city commission meetings, but we do have an open door for it to be back on the agenda. And so that was a great success that it was moved from really almost a tabled death position because no one would second the motion at the previous meeting to where we did have a unanimous agreement to bring it back to the back up for vote. So this is going to be taking place. We are looking forward to having Christopher Collins, Commissioner Collins, back with us next week, next Wednesday live, and he will be giving an update on where we stand and also letting you know when the next meeting will be and how you can be a part of that meeting. I was so blessed to listen to the body of Christ who were prepared, who were prayerful, respectful, but with just really a lot of historical and legal and God sense spoke to this issue. It was extremely well done. And I was just sitting there saying, I'm so glad that I'm a part of the body of Christ. It's a blessing. All right, let's jump right into a discussion this morning with our guest. All right. Now, Gospel Tract Society has been around a while. So, Mr. Buttram, we're going to need you to just give us a little history. Who are you? How long have you been around? What do you do? And we want to talk about why, if, and why tracts might still be really important.
We can't do that in one day. But
we can't? Well, let's start.
I will start. Okay. My father was studying to be a missionary in China.
Okay.
And he was at a little Baptist church in Springfield, Missouri. One Sunday evening, he was prostrate before the Lord. And a very sincere, dear man, loved the Lord, was a prayer warrior. And the Lord spoke to him. And he said, Lester, print my word. What? Lester? Print my word. No. God, you don't understand. I'm going to be a missionary in China. Lester, print my word. God, I don't know anything about printing. Lester, print my word and do not sell it. Do not charge for it. So that was the mandate back in 1926.
Wow.
So at that point, Dad went to the bank, withdrew his life savings, $7.10.
Woo!
Okay. But it was a commitment. He knew the call was there. And so he took his $7.10 and went to a local print shop with a single tract and told the operator, I don't know if she's a Christian or not, but he poured his heart out to her. Said, would you print as many of this tract as you can for $7.10? And she was so moved by his passion, his earnest desire. She said, I'll tell you what, Lester, I'll print everything I can for this $7.10 and I'll double it out of my pocket. So that was the start of not only the ministry, but the faithfulness of God to meet the needs and supply. Dad began to send out a tract to someone he knew or someone he would give an address. So, all the United States, one tract here, one tract there, and some would ignore it, others would write back and say, send me 5 of these or send me 10 of these. And so this went on for a little bit. There was a man in Wyoming, a cattle rancher, sent Dad a check for $100. Back in 1926, we're talking big bucks. He was excited and blessed, and Grandma said, no, that was a mistake. You know, the man didn't understand. You can't keep that. Oh, Mom, it's a blessing. No, send it back. So Dad was faithful to Mom, sent it back, and about a week later, got a seething letter from the man, the cattleman in Wyoming, and said, Mr. Buttram, you didn't ask for money. God told me to take this money and send it to you. Take it, print tracts, blessings, John Henry. And that's how God has worked over the years. We do not sell the tracts that are They're all Bible-based. There's not doctrine in it from any church or denomination. You know, if it's not the Word of God, we don't want it in there. God has supplied the need. You know, sometimes the need would crop up and like, God, you know, we're talking $2,000. We don't have that money. Well, Dad was a prayer warrior. Mom was a prayer warrior. The money would come in when it was time for payment, to buy something or build something. Grandpa had compassion on Dad and took a stall in the back of the horse barn and put tar paper on the walls. And Dad bought a little hand-operated press and began to print gospel tracts in the horse barn. So that was the first office, the printing plant, if it would. And it has just grown and blessed. You know, we have moved from Springfield, Missouri, to, you know, different parts of the Kansas City area. And now we have a fairly good-sized building, a small staff of five people, but we have printed hundreds of thousands of tracts and comic books. The relevance of – what is a tract? The relevance of a tract is that it's a mini-sermon that can be a very short poem, song, or encouragement, or it can be a large, you know, 8.5 by 11 or larger piece of paper with teaching and encouragement. It's relevant today because although it's an electronic world and people have their phones and their iPads and whatever else electronic, you can give a tract to somebody and not say a word, or you can give a tract to somebody and talk to them. We have a lady that's a very good friend of the ministry, very timid, sweet lady. She was driving back to her house, and there's a gas station. She felt impressed to stop. There was one man pumping gas. So she looked through her purse to see what she had, and she had just a couple of tracts, and she took one and walked with the man and said, "Jesus loves you." "I'm going to hell." She stepped back, like, "Okay. Jesus loves you. I'm going to hell." Okay, how do you respond to that? And so she was very insistent in listening to the Holy Spirit. "Jesus loves you. You don't understand. I'm on my way to kill somebody, and I'm going to go to hell. Jesus loves you." He finally took the tract, put it in his pocket, jumped his truck, drove off. So she watched the news that night. No murders in the town. Mm. So whatever happened, we don't know. We are seed planters. You know, we can see someone. Children. Both these are last 2 months. A gentleman in Chicago was driving home and saw some children. I think he said they were from between 6 and 10 years old, playing on the playground. So he looked through his truck and found a little children's gospel tract. Walked over to the oldest gal and said, "Would you like a gospel tract?" She stopped, looked at it, said, "No, but I'll tell you what, I'll read it." So she gathered all the kids around and she read to them the gospel tract and gave it back to the gentleman. So you never know where the opportunity is that someone is hungry, someone will be receptive. A gospel tract is so valuable because it is in itself a testimony of the Holy Spirit, a testimony of Jesus Christ. And every tract that deals with salvation will have at least Romans 10:9 on it, so that if they will read it, you know, the seed can fall on rocks, it can fall on good ground, bad ground, but if it's planted, the Holy Spirit has an opportunity to say, "Okay, remember this verse." You don't have to call anybody. Mm-hmm. You don't have to make any phone calls. You read this one verse, believe it, and receive Jesus as your Savior.
Amen. Amen. Well, that's that's quite a story. That's quite a story. You probably have many stories.
You don't have
effectiveness. Well, we do have a little time to talk about this.
Okay.
Years ago. I'm just thinking of now versus years ago. Years ago, when I was a young man, it was very common to find tracts being left in restrooms, restaurants on counters, in businesses, and in fact, in any day of activity, it was very common to come across at least one tract. Today, not so much. And yet the need is still there and the opportunity is still there. What is taking place as far as the requests, the demands, and the opportunities with Gospel Tract Society? Are you publishing less than, more than? I mean, are Where is the church, and where should we be?
That's a good question and a long answer. You talked about the committee getting together locally for reinstatement of prayer.
Yes.
Part of the problem with our nation, if not the entire problem, is that the church community has been intimidated by non-church.
Talk about that a bit.
We think that if we're shamed, we're a lesser people. You know, okay, they're going to talk about bad about God. They're going to talk about, oh, I don't want the hard feelings. You know, oh, he embarrassed me. Oh, he put me down. I'm sorry. We're warriors. There is no retirement in Jesus Christ. You know, if you're a child, you are a warrior. And this is warfare. We print, at one point, I thought that the printing business was going downhill and going to be lost. And I talked with a gentleman who was in the print industry, just in the world. He said, no, we're doing more mailings now than we ever have before. Because there's so much social media going on, you have to have a counterbalance of paper, if you would, to get the attention of people. Because it's something, again, is tangible. They can put in their pocket, they can read it, they can throw it away, it doesn't matter. We print new titles, probably 3 new titles every month, with over 900 titles in stock that we can mail out, you know, any one day. The orders have actually decreased because of the pandemic. People are pushed back mentally, socially, and they're not getting out like they should or could. There have been legislations in certain communities that you cannot leave a gospel tract on a bean can in the store. You know, no soliciting. You can't hand out. You can't put them in the windshields. There's a lot of you can't. And God says, yeah, you can. Okay, make it personal. You know, stop this person. We have one tract. It's called the Life Death Tract. And it's a world famous tattoo. You look at one side, it says life.
Yes, I've seen that on a card. Mm-hmm.
She will take the tract, and if she sees someone with tats on, she'll go up to them. You know, she told this one story that she was at an intersection, and there was a biker, big old rough dude with tats. She walked over, gave him the tract. He knew the tat, so he took the tract, put it in his pocket, rode off. The seed is planted. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's always an opportunity to spread the word of God. It may be, you know, in the neighborhood, in the family, maybe on a vacation, but there's a need for that in the church. To me, the church has to wake up. You know, we're in the last days, and I see a revival coming. It may be a flash fire in the pan, but it's going to be powerful. This trip to Florida has seen some doors open. Like, I didn't know the doors were there, but they're doors for the gospel in printed form. So it's growing, and I just want to be, you know, the tip of the spear for the tract industry, the tract messages, the tract the seed pile. It's not dead. We just have to realize that we're accountable for what we do and what we don't do. I mean, our salvation is not a question, but our rewards are like, okay, did you go see Brother So-and-so? Did you talk to that homeless person on the street? No, God. Okay, their blood is on your hands. They did not know Jesus Christ. I don't want that on me. There have been times that I would do something by the Spirit and say, Lord, I really don't want to go over there and do this. Okay, but if I don't, after God has told me to, I'm accountable for what I do or what I don't do. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think the church needs to recognize and come aboard in the battle, the fight for the kingdom. And yeah, some people would badmouth you, cuss you out, but there is a seed that will grow and prosper and bring fruit. What is the soul worth? Mm. What's the soul worth? Embarrassment? Harassment? You know, if you did 100 times, but one soul, there's a sheep, 99. I didn't plan that one, but that's true. If you have one soul that responds, commit suicide? No, I'm not gonna commit suicide because this message spoke to me. Mm-hmm. If we do one thing for one person, we have done the will of God.
Amen. Amen. Well, I grew up, and I mentioned this when we talked the last time, we I think it was by phone, and it's a blessing to have you actually with us in studio today. Christopher, great to have you as well. Again, if you're just tuning in, to WCNO, and you're just joining us for Wednesday Live. We have Mr. Buttram, who is with Gospel Tract Society. Gospel Tract Society. Some of you may have not ever heard of Gospel Tract Society, but you've been around a long time. My father certainly was very familiar with your organization. I grew up in a family where folding tracts and passing out tracts and doing actually at one point they called it track bombs. They would put two or three tracts together, roll them together. It sort of looked like a small rocket ship, and with a little twist on the top so it was protected from weather. And we would go to places like Daytona and Titusville and traveled around. But almost every Friday night, every Saturday, we were on the streets. And on the streets, passing out tracts, some people would stop, some would talk, many would walk on, some would just turn away and say no thank you, and that was fine. And we would go back and pick up a few in the next block that had been dropped on the street once people looked at them, and we would recycle them and use them again. But Dad would buy cases and cases of tracts when Daytona would have their big influx of people during the winter months for the festivals. We would be there, you know, and Dad felt real strongly about this, and I recognize that the printed word is a powerful thing. I was looking through some of the more recent that you sent in this packet, and just thinking about the importance of these topics and looking at them. You have some very nice colors that are added into your tracts, and some are large, some are small. I was amazed at the size of some of them, but at some of these address some of the issues of today. I thought this about President Lincoln, his proclamation, and about him being a cynic. I thought those two tracks were very helpful because we are dealing with a loss of foundations.
Yes.
And so endeavoring to bring people back to understand, because they may not get it in their school, but to help them understand this is what America was established upon. And My Body, My Choice. That's
powerful. Yeah, that's powerful.
Now, where do you find? Who writes all of these? I'm looking at these and I see different. How do you end up with a new track? Or
well, again, that's kind of hard in a way. A lot of times I'll be reading the Bible, and a phrase will pop out and say, "God, I don't remember reading that before."
Okay.
Obviously, I did. Well, I'll write that down, and when I'm finished reading, I'll go to the computer and I'll start doing some background, some research, other scriptures. And then when it's ready, God will put it together. And it may take, you know, 2-3 weeks to actually create something. I say create it, to transfer it from him to me.
Okay.
And I'll start typing the first sentence, and the rest of it just will flow. And then I'll hit, you know, period, paragraph, and it's in. And it always turns out to be just the right length to fit in the paper size. And we model our paper sizes to fit into the pocket. Not too big,
gotcha.
Not too small.
Gotcha.
It's got to be convenient. If you don't catch a person's attention within the first 5 seconds of being approached with a conversation or a tract, you've lost them. So it's got to be attractive. It's got to be pointed. It's got to be anointed. And that's where we go. We will have some people send a manuscript. And, okay, if it's good, okay, Lord, what are we going to do with it? Sometimes the manuscripts are... and not so good.
Right.
Okay, that's God. That's fine. The My Body, My Choice came about. I was on the web, and I saw her testimony.
Kristen Watson.
Watson.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I thought, okay, that is powerful. That is God. So I actually transcribed her testimony, edited it just enough to fit on the page.
Mm.
I tried to find her address for her probation. But since it's in public domain on YouTube, I thought, I'll give her full credit. It's not me. But you can tell that God spoke to her, and it's her cry of the heart for the children.
Yes.
I mean, any lady that has 6 children and loves every one of them is godly. And
sure.
It's a godly family. And so the material comes from different sources, but always it originates with God.
Amen. Well, I would like for you to tell our listeners how they can... get a hold of your company, how they can find you online, how they would go about ordering tracks. And there are some that are very relevant to the issues that we're dealing with. I mean, just seeing that My Body, My Choice, the nice photograph on the front, it's appealing, it's nicely done. It's in good taste, but it's a powerful witness, and there's so many of these.
It is a witness, and I think everything that we have is relevant for today's society. Even though it may have been written, 10, 15, 20 years ago, mm-hmm. it's still relevant for what we do, for what we walk today. We have a webpage. It's just our name, gospeltractsociety.org. You can call us, area code 816-461-6086. Or write to us at P.O. Box 1118, Independence, Missouri, 64051. And we have walk-ins, we have phone calls, we have emails, we have letters, different ways to get hold of us. And we respond. We don't have, a large phone bank staff. We're busy. We're small, but we're busy. And God spreads it out so that, not one area gets swamped. But we send out thousands and thousands and thousands of tracks. And one thing, I don't know if we have time, is to talk about the gospel comic book.
Let's do that, please, because that is an awesome means of reaching many people that may not look at a traditional script, but that'll grab their attention.
It will snag them. The artwork on the comic is just fantastic. It's a 48-page, four-color comic book. We have it in six languages. And one of the exciting things of this trip is we met with the Cape Canaveral Port Ministry folks. I'd never heard of them.
Hmm.
But we walked into their facility, and they minister to cruise ship's staff, the seamen.
Really?
And they will have,
interesting.
They will have 200 to 400 crew members pass through their facility in a single day. And some days it's chaotic. They have two ships hit the dock at the same time. But it's a fabulous ministry. So we walked in, and I'm kind of put back because set back on my heels, because they had Bibles and literature in 66 languages. I believe that's correct. And they had a rack of comic books full color. And I thought, boy, there goes my thunder. We have one comic book that's that was relevant. But when the director came in, he was so excited. I thought, there's something here I don't see. Well, what we have is
about the comic book. What it covers, the Gospels.
The comic covers in graphics from the birth of Jesus Christ, his crucifixion, resurrection. Mm. And people have, in foreign countries, been saved by just looking at the comic without being able to read it.
Wow.
That's the Holy
awesome.
Spirit.
Mm. That's awesome.
And because it's so powerful, they want this comic book so they can give to the crew members. And I'm seeing ships going out to the ocean, and crew members carrying comic books. They're carrying it back home. They give it to their kids. And I can see the Word of God in these multiple languages just spreading like a fog over the land.
Wow.
And he
That's
said,
beautiful.
Do you have it in a Philippine language? No. I said, but if I can get the translation, get it translated, I'll print it. His eyes kind of popped over. And so it kept going on. At the end of the conversation, he said, I'm a board member of the American Society of Port Ministries. I never even thought about that.
He said, never heard of them.
He said, we're having a convention in, I believe it was June. He said, would you be interested? Yes. He said, I'm also a board member of the International Ministers of Port Ministries. I never heard of it. He said, would you be interested in? Yes, I will.
Mm.
So God is opening the door for the Word of God to spread. And I just, you can't put together these things. You can't script it. It's of God.
That is awesome.
Okay, God. We have printed thousands and tens of thousands of the comics.
Mm.
And there's still a demand for them because it's the Word of God. It's clean. It's attractive. Kids will look at it. Grown-ups will look at it. It's in a way, it's a form of entertainment for the eyes. It's eye candy.
Sure.
But it's a Holy Spirit food.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. So again, people can get a hold of you by going to gospeltractsociety.org.
Correct.
And I believe most of our listeners are going to be able to pull that up either on your computer or your smartphone. And that certainly would be great. Of course, also, they can reach you by phone, and I got the 461, but what was the area code?
816.
816-461-6086.
Correct.
And so you can call there. And I'm assuming that people can donate on your webpage, or they can just send in a donation to...
We are a 501c nonprofit,
so
every donation is tax deductible. We have people that will order tracks and not donate anything.
Sure.
Praise God. We will have people order and donate, and we'll have people that donate and don't order.
Mm-hmm.
And God bounces it out. And wherever there's a financial need for the ministry, sometimes God will bring it in over months before the need is actually there. But he's always faithful to the ministry to supply the need, because we strive to be faithful to his word and to him and obedient to his Holy Spirit.
That's awesome.
One correction, it's Gospel Tract, not Tracks.
Okay, Gospel Tract
Society.
T-R-A-C-T.
Correct.
Society. Mm-hmm. Okay, excellent, excellent. Obviously, you have done many different things, and you shared a bit of that with us, and you could be doing many things. Tell us a little bit about your life and why you're doing what you're doing. I know we're almost out of time, but I was intrigued by what you shared a few moments ago.
I will again try to make my life, synopsis pretty short. I had three older brothers, three younger sisters, and I was the middle kid. Always raised on the ministry from day one. When it came time for a job to work, the baby brother, he don't know anything. I'm the senior. I'm going to. Okay, fine. So I had a degree in electronic engineering, and went to the world to grow, make a living, and go on. One of the companies I worked for had three aircraft, so I learned to fly, and I was a field service engineer. So I flew all the United States in one of their airplanes, and it has grown and grown and grown. At one point, I was the director of advertising for a blue chip firm, and it was during that time we were in Louisville, Kentucky. That it was during that time that there was a restlessness in my spirit. I just, God was moving, God was stirring. It's like trying to kick the baby eagle out of the nest. And I would walk the space complex, the large industrial complex, and praying, okay, God, I'll go to China, I'll do this. And so after weeks of volunteering to go someplace, God said, Phil, come home. No, God, I'll go to China, I'll go to US, Russia. You kind of like my dad.
Right.
And finally said, really, God? He said, come home. And that was my call. But I didn't know it was a calling. I just thought that it was the next step in my life, a progression. So I quit my job. And for 3 months, took care of business. And finally, through a series of events, did come back home to the ministry. Dad died. Mom was the director. She passed away. My older brother was a director. He passed away. And so it finally came down to my brother just above me in age, and God told him, Tom, resign and offer the ministry to Philip. And he said he heard him verbally. Well, over a period of weeks, he came to me. He said, this is what God said, and I want you to take the ministry. And by this time I had gone through, been a chief pilot. They laid me off, companies bought and sold, and so I had gone back to school at an age I could retire, and became certified industrial heating and air conditioning. And I said, Tom, I'd love to talk to you more, but I'm due at this town. They're waiting for me for to repair job. Well, eventually, over the first period of days, my wife said, hun, if you don't take this opportunity, you'll regret it the rest of your life. Yeah, you're right. So on January 1st, 2014, I became the director. And it took several years for me to, a couple years for me to get into the mode of what God had called me to do, and for me to realize that I was called to the position, and I didn't know it. When I realized that, I said, okay, God, I need to get serious. What do you want me to do? And I physically humbled myself on the floor before the Lord and Holy Spirit, day after day, praying, not just warfare, but getting my life in a place that I could hear God. And through that obedience to the Holy Spirit, God has grown me, if that's proper English, to where I can hear his voice.
Awesome.
I'm nothing special. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I was born at night, but not last night. Okay. So when God speaks, okay, God, you know, I want to listen to you.
Awesome.
And he has done to me, or in my mind, wonderful things because I humbled myself before him, and he is honored by humbleness. Mm. Again, it's not me. It's not about me. It's not about my dad. It's not about the ministry. It's about my Savior, Jesus Christ, and his Father.
Amen.
And he has put this together, and I see it growing as opposed to waning off.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And you mentioned earlier that you have different languages. I'm holding one that's in Spanish.
Okay, yes.
And so for our Spanish audience, and we have a lot of people from a Spanish background.
Sure.
And for all of us in the state of Florida or wherever you live, having some Spanish literature with you is a great thing because we mix and mingle with really the world. Then all the nations come to us.
Yes.
And so it's great to have that. But you mentioned there. There are gospel tracts for children. You have the comic books. That's the comic book that, or
what? We have comic books. We have coloring books. We have
coloring books.
We have
okay.
Activity books for children.
Okay,
all ages. If someone has a call and feel the need, contact us. We'll send out a sample pack of whatever the call is in your life. Ministering to the elderly, yeah. Ministering to the sick, comfort the lost. We have probably 40 different categories that we have sample packs already made up. And it would be our pleasure and blessing to send someone a sample pack. Say, okay, let God speak to you.
Okay.
What do you want to do?
Excellent. Excellent. And I have one of those. And, you know, I was looking at here stuff, Sodom in America or America and Gomorrah. I'm very involved in working with pastors and various leaders that desire to see the spiritual climate transformed here on the Treasure Coast of Florida, and so that's part of the burden and vision I have. And I found several that and even interesting things like rules for your garden. I found that to be interesting. Another track, but go online. You can go online and connect with gospeltractsociety.org. And you can make a donation there, a very worthy cause, 501c3. And, you know, there's a lot of great ministries. This is one of them. And I am I'm confident that the kingdom would prosper and grow if all of us carried some gospel tracts with us.
Absolutely.
In our car, in our attaché, with us. You're in a truck, you're out working on jobs, you're with people. And a lot of times God gives us an opportunity for those 4 or 5 seconds to just connect with somebody's life, and you're going to meet people that you know God would like to say more to.
Yes.
A track is a great way to put the gospel in their hand and to see that that soul won for Jesus Christ. So that's awesome, Christopher. Great to have you with us today, and you just give us a snippet of your God story. How did you? I mean, you're growing up in a family where there's a lot of different careers going on. How did you end up in yours? And who is Jesus to you?
Oh, wow, that's a tough question because there's a lot of different ways to go with that. So yeah, I was raised in a Christian home. Hearing stories of spiritual warfare and just some of the faithfulness that God would provide in my family's life. My salvation story started at a young age. I was about 8 years old, and after asking for salvation as a witness in a company of my sister, we were in her bedroom and we actually saw, it was at evening time, and we actually saw the silhouette of angels on a building that we had attached to the house. And it was God's sign just to say, I'm present, I'm protecting you. And it's always been that moment that faith became more than just faith. It became a lifestyle. And it's always one of those things that you kind of always revert back to. You know, when you go on, you turn the TV on, you turn on social media, it's negative.
Oh, right.
You know, faith isn't real. Nope. There's no question. And so that has kind of been the foundation of my own journey. I'm not currently associated, at least directly, with the tract ministry. I am on the board but I work a corporate job in sales. I've been asked a couple of times on this trip, would you ever consider the ministry? And my answer is I would never say no. I'm just waiting for that time. And interestingly enough, a couple of years ago, it was just kind of laid on my heart that said, you know, there's a change coming. And I remember I was in a small group for church, and I just said, hey, I don't know what's going on, but let's pray about it as a group, because I don't know what's around the corner, but I want to be receptive to it. And I think that's maybe a little bit of what's the shape of what's to come in the future.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Karen, if you want to bring Mary in, Mary Williams, she can come in and jump in and be a part with us in the closing moments today. We have about another 20 minutes left. One thing that some people may profit from recognizing, and what I've heard today from both of you, is that many times God raises us up and we may be involved in different areas of work, different maybe professional areas of work, and that does not take away from the call that's on our life. And you have a lot of things, Philip, with your life, with your journey, with God's working in you, and I don't know how old you were when, and you don't have to tell us, when you really connected with that call and understood that God was bringing you into that as a mission. Was that earlier? Where did that come in your career? Was that, you were talking about just being certified in maybe HVAC and some things like that?
Well, the passion for the ministry, I think, it has always been there. I can remember one time I was in Wichita, Kansas, on a going to sim training on aircraft, and I was in the high-rise hotel. The wall was plate glass windows, and I'm overlooking the runway at night. It's like 2:30 in the morning, and I see these beautiful colors, you know, reds and blues and whites, and I'm weeping for the Lord, because he has done so much in my life, and there's been so many joyous and neat times in aviation alone. But to need to do something more. And I just, you know, okay, God, you made this opportunity. I'm doing your will, but I'm hurting inside. Okay. It actually wasn't about 6 years ago when I realized I was speaking at a conference in southern Kansas, and I was doing a background on my father of how he was called in 26, but took 40 years of working part-time jobs and full-time jobs before he could actually work full-time in the ministry.
Yeah.
And I'm doing the background, and the Lord, I say it's the Lord, pointing back to when I was in Louisville, Kentucky, walking around this industrial complex, crying because I was restless for God. And like God said, that's your calling. You have always been on the path to the gospel. But that's when I called you to come home. And I didn't realize it until about 6 years ago. Okay? And we can't ignore the feelings that we have for the ministry, or for lost souls, or for loved ones.
Amen.
Or our handicapped
Amen.
People, or veterans, or the homeless, or whoever. That is a calling that God has put in our heart, and we just have to listen to that and say, okay, Father, I don't know how to get there. That's all right. One step at a time.
One step at a time.
I can do that. Can do that.
Amen.
That's what he does. Sometimes I have trouble looking backwards and recognizing everything that God has done.
Yeah.
But then sometimes I think, wow, God, you really did that. What's in the future? That's all right. Don't worry about it. Don't get ahead of me. One step at a time. Okay, God. Praise your name.
I love
Here we go. Here we go.
I love that. I have that experience with God, and it's tremendous. And Christopher, thanks for sharing a little bit of your story, because I believe many come to a point in their life where they're like, okay, well, I'm old enough to retire. Well, now what do I do, right? So once I retire, over the years, I've known some people that have just found the highest purpose of their whole life, in the days of retirement. They now have time to do it. They have wisdom. They have experience. They have God training. And they've learned to hear the voice of God. So now they actually are able to sort some of the others out. And so many of our listeners today want to just encourage you to recognize that, you know, you might be active in a church. You might be, you might say, well, I actively attend a church. But you may say, I would love to do more in the kingdom of God. Don't shut your eyes to the fact that God may be raising you up now for such a time as this.
There is no retirement in Jesus Christ.
Retirement. Amen. Mary Williams, I welcome you to the mic at this time. Now, Mary, you are an author. And you are getting ready to do something, looking to stir up. This lady's been coming in here saying every church should have a writer's what?
A writer's fair.
Pull that mic right up to your mouth so we can.
A writer's fair.
A writer's fair.
Book fair, really. Mm-hmm. Because every church has probably at least one author in it, but also it's an outreach. It's a way of getting people to come into your church. It's a way of letting your authors get out there. Christian authors don't have venues that they get to go to because they don't have thousands of dollars. J-Dub, our son, just told me, maybe I can get this author to come. And he said, but they usually charge $6,000 to go to a church. Mm. I said, hey, we're lucky to make $300 for this. I'm hoping we get money from this. But the idea came... I write Sister Sandpaper, Rubbing People the Right Way for Christ column, and I have some books, but you know I haven't got them printed. But the thing is, a lot of authors get their books printed because God told them to, but they don't really make a lot of money, and they need venues to get out. And if every church had a book fair, so that some of their authors that are in their book or others, we have about 10 to 12 that'll be coming from all over Florida, but my goal is to see people wander in that maybe they need to know the Lord as well as need a book, you know. And so what we're doing, Aglow started it last year. I gave them the idea and they started it, but they didn't want to go on to be the sponsor. So they're a co-sponsor along with WCNO.
We are a co-sponsor. Yay. We are. We believe that Christians should be communicating their faith.
Exactly. And so during the time on February the 4th from 11 to 3 p.m., people will wander into the library and they might wander into our event. And our job, my job especially, I was in an advertiser and in advertising, and I was an evangelist, but I didn't know I was an evangelist. So I worked for newspapers and advertising and all that stuff. But I know that a lot of people would come to the churches if there is more advertising. I'm going to go to Publix, see if I can get a little table to advertise our event. But most of the time, churches are so busy that they don't have time to really advertise. And in when you're advertising something, it takes people several times to see it before the light bulb goes on.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. But so the authors are have books, children's books, adult books. We even had an author that he was a homosexual for 40 years because he was raped as a child and he was embarrassed to tell anybody or even to be with a woman. But he finally got saved. He's 89 now and he has 4 books written. And he's very interesting. And then we had last year, we had a couple that they were a priest and a nun, and God put them together and they got out of that ministry, and now they've been going from Ireland to here, and they have lots of books. And but the fact is, Christian authors probably might not be on the bestseller list ever, but they will be here on earth, but they will be in heaven.
Amen.
Because whatever we do in heaven, you know, when we first started doing nursing home ministry, I was told I wasn't ready, so I went out and got 14 Bible studies a week. And I said, I think I'm ready.
You went out and secured 14 locations to minister, right?
Exactly.
So God opened doors even though you were told you weren't ready.
Nobody at the time, 20 years ago, was doing Bible study. They were doing church services, but not Bible studies. So anyway, and I was counting how many people we got saved. So I was up to 60, and the Lord said, stop it. I said, stop what? You're counting. I'm going, okay, what's wrong with that? Well, then I read that you're not supposed to count, right? Because I didn't know how many people really got saved. But the Christians that were in nursing homes, we have a Bible study on Tuesday now. They're hungry. They're starving. We're letting one of the ladies do a little bit of the Bible study. They're starving. And I was jokingly saying, well, we'll be in with you someday. And she said, don't come to this place. Don't go to a nursing home. You know, because it's like going to high school where you've got all different people. They're all not all Christian, and you need more training so people can talk to the atheist and
be prepared.
Be prepared. Not shout them down, but in a nice way, say, "Hey, I love you." But
and have resources to take in, like tracts from the Gospel Tract Society.
Yeah.
And
I got this one thing the other night. The Lord said, "You don't have to believe to go to hell, but you do have to believe to go to heaven." And so, you know, we've seen a lot of people get commit suicide lately. And
very sad.
Sad, yeah. I said, Lord, why couldn't I have got through to them? And some of them I didn't even know. But the thing is, a book fair is a venue for our authors that we know from all over Florida to come and share and the truth, and also for us to get out into the neighborhood and have them us be able to share the truth too. We've had other things, and we've had our sign stolen. Our church sign was stolen. Anything that I put Christian, usually I told our printer, I don't want a real expensive sign, because every time we have anything, somebody steals our sign.
Yep.
And so it's got to be cheapy so that I can throw it away.
Mary, 1 second.
Yes.
Catch your breath.
Okay.
And we want all of you who are listening to know that the book fair is going to be coming up. Make sure, let's give that information so people understand this is happening right here in the Treasure Coast. It's going to be on Saturday, February the 4th. Give us the details.
Okay, it's at 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Hope Sound Library in Hope Sound, Florida. That's 10595 Southeast Federal Highway. Just Google Hope Sound Library if you don't have a pen to write it down. And it's local Christian authors, co-sponsored by WCNO and Stuart Aglow. And you can call me at 772-631-7550. But I am a working minister, so don't expect your call to get back right away.
But you will get back.
Oh,
okay,
yeah, yeah.
So who is invited to this book fair?
Anyone that wants to, likes to read, likes to listen to authors, how they got started. A lot of people were doing a writer's workshop, too, so the people that have never written can learn how to write.
Be introduced to it. Okay.
By the way, everyone has a book. You either get it printed or written, or you get buried with it or cremated with it. The choice is yours.
So either you get it out or you don't get it out.
Yeah,
okay,
God gave everybody a book.
All right, so this is an open invitation. It's at the Hope Sound Library.
Yep.
It's available to, you know, you can come by as a family, meet some local authors, uh-huh, and look at books that are there. And what if an author is listening today and is wanting to figure out how to be a part of this book fair?
Call me and we will send you or email you an application. We only have 12 spaces probably, unless you share a booth with someone and they have to come with you. We don't divide them up. It's $50 for the booth, non-refundable.
Only $50?
Yep, non-refundable.
Okay.
And if you want to share it with somebody, you have to pay for the booth, and you can bring another author and share the booth.
Now, Karen, you've been very quiet this morning.
Well, listening to Phil and all that great information.
Phil
just
and
taking
Christopher
it all in.
And Mary.
And now Mary, but I do want to ask you, now you said that you didn't say here, but you told me that the authors are each going to have a few minutes to share about their book.
Good idea. Yes, 5 minutes. If I can keep them down 5 minutes.
These are not preachers, are they?
Almost, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, they've written books. I mean, I don't know how many people are listening have tried to write a book, but it is not easy to write a book. You can write it, but yet to have all your characters and everything in line, and then get the children's books have to have all kinds of
graphics
and mm-hmm. things. And but we are kind of excited because the MC that we're having is somebody we know pretty well, and he's going to open it up for us, and his name's J-Dub.
J-Dub, hey, that's your boy.
Yep.
That's your boy.
That's our son.
Now, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Because one thing you brought in to me to look at was a comic book style Bible.
Yes.
Produced, I think, by David Cook Publishing, which is awesome. It's a whole Bible. Now we have, the head man here of the Gospel Tract Society that's talking about their outreach with comic books. Tell us about the ministry that you do with just the kids in your neighborhood.
Okay, and I have one with the comic book. If it's the same one, there's a comic book track, and I gave it to a homeless guy that we were giving food out at Grace Place, and he was eating his food and sitting there looking at it, and I said, "Are you saved?" He said, "Yeah, I go to a Bible study, but I love this." And he was a homeless guy, and a lot of homeless guys say they're saved, but that in our neighborhood, the kids come around, and they started coming around for treats because they saw me bringing stuff home from Women at Glow,
you are the treat lady,
I have to say,
you come in here and bring me treats, and I'm on a fast right now, so there's certain things I eat and things I don't, and so behave yourself.
I'm not related.
You brought in stuff right out here. It's on the other side of the wall. It's contraband.
But I brought you apples.
Karen can eat.
I brought you apples today.
You did? Oh, thank God. So, okay.
Anyway,
tell us about the kids.
Okay, the kids come. We gave them Bibles. We have one. It all started because two of the kids are staying with their aunt, who because their mother's in prison, and the fathers are nowhere to be found.
AWOL.
And yeah, and so they don't really get as many treats and things at home. So anyway, we got talked to J-Dub, and he knows the artist, and so we got secured 7 or 8 of those Bibles. And then now what I do, though, because I just haven't had time to really do the Bible study with them, before I give them a treat, they have to read a scripture.
Awesome. And now you have a contact to get some resources.
Yes.
That you can resource your neighborhood, and you're always looking for that. And listen, you may be in children's ministry, you may be a children's pastor, you may be a senior pastor, maybe a board member in a church, you might be on an evangelistic team, you might be on a Wanna Win Somebody to Jesus team, and you just haven't known where to take the next step. We have had an awesome day talking about all the resources that God has made available to us in the kingdom to get the word of God out. And so, Mary, we have two very important things. We have a book fair that's coming up again on what date?
That is on February 4th at 11 to 3. And also, if you want to call me about getting involved with a writer's workshop, that's a free event too.
And we do have applications right here at the radio station. You can swing by as an author, pick one up, and we'll be happy to hand this to you. And we are at 2960 Southwest Map Road, Palm City.
And you can also write a track. I mean, tracks are good too. I started out with Sister Sandpaper, and I write bookmarks with them. And a lot of unsaved people love the fact that I'm calling myself Sister Sandpaper because they think of us as sandpaper anyway.
Amen. Well, that's those who are actually doing something. So, amen. Amen. And we also have with us today Philip Buttram, who is with the Gospel or GospelTrackSociety.org. Please look them up. Please put them on your prayer list. Please support the kingdom of God. And listen, some might think it's a wimp's way to communicate the gospel. But if that's the case, Then wimps, get started and get your guns loaded, and let's get the marketplace filled with the Word of God again. I know the enemy's going to say, well, if you were a real Christian, well, if you were really bold, you would just speak up for me. Well, start where you are. If where you are is you can give somebody a little track, then start with that, but go to gospeltracksociety.org. And say, who are these people? How can I pray for them? How can I be a better witness? I really think